Samaritan woman. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob as well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father, Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become him, in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back to me." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I am the Messiah." Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony, "He told me everything I ever did." So when Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed for 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers.
Thank you, Heather. Thank you to Marshall, to Tim, and to the choir. The Palms was one of those special hymns at my home church that wasn't in Latin, so we could understand it, and that everybody got a chance to sing. So that brought back some wonderful moments for me, so thank you all for that. Let's pray. Dear God, open us this morning to your word, to your spirit, and to one another. Bless us through Jesus Christ. Amen. Been blessed. My daughter, as Dave mentioned, came in to surprise me this weekend with our granddaughter. So you can either thank her or blame her, whichever your perspective is at my retirement, because the reason is right there, and it's such a joy. Last week, we were blessed to have our daughter-in-law and grandson in from Germany to be with us for a few days, and again, that is such a joy. Three-year-old, and you know, when you ask the little ones, "How big are you?" You know, and they go, "This big." Well, my daughter-in-law asked my grandson David, "How big are you?" And of course, he goes, "This big." And then she says, "How much does Nani," that's me, Grandma, "how much does Nani love you?" And David goes, "This big, this much, Nani loves me." And then she says to him, "How much does Opa," that's Grandpa, "how much does Opa love you?" And he pauses a minute and he goes, "This much." And then he laughs and he looks at Grandpa and then he goes, "This much, Opa as much. What a joy to see children grow and develop, and to develop a sense of humor and stuff. And so I am looking forward to that in retirement, to be able to spend that kind of time and enjoy my grandchildren. But today I'd like to share with you one of my favorite stories about Jesus, because it brings me great joy, this story, the woman at the well. Now, let's review a little bit of the history. Samaria was that part of Israel between Jerusalem and Galilee. When the kingdom split after King Solomon died, we had the northern kingdom, which would have been Samaria and Galilee, and the southern kingdom, which was the Jerusalem, the Judah area. Well, the northern kingdom could no longer come into Jerusalem, so they set up Samaria as their capital, and they worshipped at Mount Gerizim. A little while later, the Assyrian Empire, the Assyrians, came in and conquered the northern kingdom, and many of the Israelites who lived in the Samaria area were exported. They were dispersed to other parts of the Assyrian Empire. And there were foreigners from those other places who were imported into Samaria. Now, these foreigners brought their culture with them and their religion. The Israelites in Samaria intermarried with these foreigners and adopted some of their culture and some of their gods. Now, they didn't do away with worshiping Yahweh, the God of Israel, but they added to their worship with some of these gods. The Israelites in the southern kingdom felt that the Samaritans had betrayed them and had betrayed Yahweh, their God. So they would no longer recognize them as real Jews, as real Israelites. In fact, they thought that they were about as low as a person could get. So the Israelites had nothing from the southern kingdom, had nothing to do with the Samaritans. They wouldn't walk in their territory. They wouldn't speak to them. They wanted absolutely nothing to do with them. We also, the scene of our story takes place out at the city well. Now, as you recall, most of the wells were right outside the village or the city. The women would go out twice a day to gather water, usually in the morning and in the late evening when it was cool. In our story, as you heard from Heather, the woman from Samaria went out at noon in the heat of the day. Now, why would she do that? Probably because she was avoiding the rest of the women. The well was the social center. You'd go, you'd talk. Gossip might be another term used. You would share all the local news, but there was a lot of talking about one another and whoever was there. So this particular woman probably avoided the other women because they were not very nice to her. Our Samaritan woman did not have the best of reputations, and so she avoided any encounters with the others, because they did ostracize her and would make her feel like an outsider. Now, Jesus comes along, and Jesus doesn't worry about cultural restrictions. First of all, he's traveling through Samaria, which the Jews just didn't do. He didn't go around it taking the long route. He would go right through Samaria on his way from Jerusalem to Galilee or vice versa. Secondly, he didn't worry about the taboo of a Jewish man speaking to a woman who was not one of his relatives. He also didn't worry about that taboo of a Jew never speaking to a Samaritan, male or female. He didn't worry about reputations. He didn't worry about his own reputation, and he didn't worry about the reputation of those he encountered. He broke all those barriers, the social ones, the political ones, the economic, and especially the religious barriers. He didn't worry about somebody's past, their sins, their family, their status, how much money they had. He encountered them one-on-one. three basic ways, and I'd like to share those with you this morning. The first one is the living water that Jesus offered to this woman. His water quenches the spiritual thirst that all of us are born with. As you go back and read in the Old Testament, we have a thirst that only Jesus can quench. Only the Messiah can do this. But as he's sharing this with the woman at the well, she's kind of confused as you read through. At first, she didn't get that he was referring to spiritual water. I mean, she's at the well. She thought he was talking about this water. So she thought if she probably accepted this offer, she wouldn't have to go to the well every day in the heat of the day. She wouldn't have to deal with the other people. So her interest in Jesus' message at first might have been strictly from, oh, this will make my life easier. Okay? And then she thought a little bit more, you know, her faith in God was there, but it was strictly on meeting her physical needs. There wasn't an understanding that she also had spiritual needs. Are we that way today? Do we grasp that we have spiritual needs in addition to the physical? This woman thought that if she took this water that he was talking about, she would never have any physical needs again. Life would be smooth. It would be easy. Are we that way? Are we that misinformed? Or do we misunderstand Scripture and not realize what Jesus was saying? Do we think that once we accept Jesus, life is going to be easy? It doesn't say that. This woman remained a Samaritan. She still had to live with the consequences of her lifestyle and her choices. When we accept Jesus, it's the same for us. We still live in this world. And we have to live with the consequences of our choices. Jesus doesn't change that. He doesn't remove the pain and the suffering. He doesn't smooth things out for us. But he does have gifts for us. And when we encounter those moments, those rough patches, he is there. He is there to help us with those. He is there to give us his gifts, this living water that he offers, eternal life, the forgiveness of sins, the concept that we will not be alone. He is providing, has provided, one who will always be with us. Sometimes I get real comfort out of this woman's view because she didn't get it at first. And that makes me feel good because there's so many times I'm reading Scripture and I don't get it. But you keep reading. You keep studying. That's my prayer for you all. That you will keep reading the Bible. That you will keep studying it. That you will have a thirst for that living water that only Jesus can provide you. Keep reading. Keep studying. The second part of this passage that really gets to me is Jesus talk about worship. Now, as he was telling the woman how many husbands she has had and who she was living with now, she was getting rather uncomfortable. Can you imagine? So what does she do? She changes the subject. She brings up one of the current theological issues of the day, worship. Wrong move on her part. Because Jesus nailed her. You know? She thought that the circumstances of worship took precedence over who you're worshiping. Well, we worship here and you worship there. And Jesus says, uh-uh. The only real worship is the worship that your spirit does. God is spirit. If you are really worshiping, you are worshiping with your spirit. Whatever our emotions, our bodies go through, that doesn't get through to God. It's when you worship with your spirit, when you're praising God with your spirit, when you're thanking Him with your spirit, when you're crying out in need with your spirit. That's when you are worshiping. And that's when God hears us. So this morning, are you praising God with your spirit? Or are you just going through the motions? You need to ask yourself that every day. You don't need to be in a lovely building. Do you concentrate on the music style? Do you concentrate on who's here, who, and who's not here today? Or do you concentrate on who God is and what He has done for us? I pray that you will continue and you will grow in worshiping in spirit. One more message came to me in this passage. You know, I've tried to put myself in the Samaritan woman's place. How did she feel before she encountered Jesus? Have you ever been ostracized by a group? That must not be a very nice feeling. And how did she feel after her encounter with Jesus? How did her life change when she accepted the gifts that Jesus offered? I'd like to share a story with you that illustrates this, how I think maybe the woman felt afterward. Years ago, in an African village, a very homely-looking woman didn't seem to have any luck finding a husband. None of the men wanted anything to do with her because of her looks, but even more because of her rotten disposition. The women in the village taunted her that, "You're never going to find a husband. You can hear the words." Now, one day, a young man comes along and goes to the woman's father and says he would like to marry his daughter. Well, the father is just thrilled. You can just imagine. He never thought this would happen. And so he thought, well, I'm not going to ask too much for a bride price. Maybe a couple goats, a cow, maybe. You know, most women receive one or two cows. So I'll just keep it at one. But before he could name his price to the young man says, I will give 8 cows for the woman. The father was just flabbergasted. The most beautiful woman in the history of the village only received 4. And you're offering 8 for my daughter? He's sure he heard wrong. So he said, well, no, just 2. And the young man said, no, it's 8 cows. It's sort of take it or leave it. It took him a while to earn those 8 cows. In the meantime, word had leaked out that he had made this phenomenal offer for this particular woman. And everybody in the village was talking about it, and they were astounded. The young men were all pretty upset because they said, we have to live up to this. Have you set a bad precedent? And the young woman even wondered, because she knew enough about herself, and she wondered, why? Well, right before the wedding, the father asked the young man, why? Why are you giving 8 cows? My daughter's no beauty, inside or out. And here's his answer. I want my wife to know how valuable she is to me. More valuable than anything imaginable in our culture. She never needs to be ashamed or hide her face. I would give everything for her. When the young woman heard this, this was more than she could comprehend. But it worked in her. She began to think differently about herself. She began to carry herself differently. She actually began to look differently. She was transformed because this man valued her above everything. Now think of the Samaritan woman. She was likewise transformed. She not only was receiving this living water that Jesus offered, but she learned that she was valuable to the Messiah. She didn't understand everything that he said. She didn't quite know what to do with some of his information, but she knew she was valuable. Her past didn't matter to him. Her reputation didn't matter. Jesus cared about her and offered her his gifts, the living water, eternal life, the forgiveness of her sins, and the gift that will come in the Holy Spirit to help us in our daily lives and give us purpose. So what about you? How valuable are you? Who's determining your value? The movies? Television? Your boss? Sorry, dear. Your family? Maybe the people in this church are determining your value. So how much are you worth? A goat? Two cows? Maybe you're worth a computer. Two cars, maybe. What would be your price? Jesus says, you are worth everything, including his life. He went willingly to that cross. He suffered those stripes for us to remove the stain of our sins and to provide us with eternal life with God. Have you accepted those gifts? God loves us so much that he sent his son to pay that bride's price. Something unimaginable in our world. Are you an 8-cow person? Have you accepted what Jesus is offering to you? Has his love changed you? How you think, how you feel, how you act? Have you been transformed by his value? If not, I challenge you, my parting words to you are to pray, to choose to be an 8-cow person. I'm proud to say I'm an 8-cow woman. I value you. I love you guys. This is hard to say goodbye. No one's calling, but I love you. But more importantly, how much does Jesus love you? He loves you this much. He went to that cross, spread his arms this much because he loves you.